So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Seems strange, doesn't it, with a title that we've got for our subject today, that on this day 100 years ago, David Lloyd George said, "This is no time for words. Our hearts are too full of gratitude, to which no tongue can give adequate expression." I was quite touched by that as I read that in the week. This is no time for words. Our hearts are too full of gratitude, to which no tongue can give adequate expression. After the complexities and challenges of our series in Isaiah, we're now into our second week of our Sing series. Last week, we looked at the fact that we were created, commanded, and compelled to sing. This week, we move on to sing with heart and mind. And straight away, I've got to confess that our subject heading causes me some confusion. What do I mean? Well, the definition of the verb to sing reads to make musical sounds with the voice, especially words with a set tune. Now, if we satisfy ourselves with that definition, then we build an automatic bias or assumption into our thinking that singing is only about vocal expression. And if that's true, how can we then sensibly follow it with the words heart and mind? For sound comes out of the mouth, not our heart or our mind. I am, of course, being deliberately provocative to emphasise the fact that this is not actually a topic that we can just take at face value. There has got to be something much deeper going on than the literal definition of the words or the noise that comes out of our mouth. To truly connect with this topic, we're going to have to broaden our understanding, our definition, and our expectation of what it means for us to sing and what it means for us to sing with hearts and minds. By way of example, many of us who stand or sit in the corner over there and play an instrument invariably don't sing vocally. With the exception of perhaps Matt, with the exception of perhaps Matt or Dave, if they are leading. So does that mean that the rest of us aren't singing with our hearts and minds? When Ben's fingers dance up and down the neck of a guitar, when whoever's on keyboard starts playing melodies that rise above the normal tune, when Matt's arms and legs move seamlessly and effortlessly between drums and cymbals, beats and rhythms, is that not an outward expression of what's going on in the heart and mind? Let me explain it a different way. One of my favourite music albums has no words. It's not even a Christian music album. Yet when I listen to each track, I can hear and I can feel the emotion being expressed, just as if the pianist or the composer was using words to tell me how they were feeling. The way the different feelings and sentiments are conveyed is spine-tingling, especially if I'm in exactly the same mood as what I'm hearing. And I can often find myself just getting caught up in that moment? It's that moment that's difficult to describe, but I'm guessing we've all experienced it at some point. It's that time when you connect with something in a way that goes way beyond what you would define as a normal interaction. It's where what you're experiencing just seems to encapsulate and articulate how you are feeling in a way that words can't or don't. I know that as a group of musicians, there have been times when we've been playing together and a similar thing has happened. What we are playing or expressing suddenly goes beyond what was planned or practiced. Individually and collectively, it's like we're no longer the ones in control. An automatic pilot has taken over. Our conscious awareness in respect of all the practicalities and the mechanics of the song disappear. The technicalities of playing and finding the right notes or hitting the right rhythms aren't in our thinking. Yet somehow we're more aligned and in step with each other than at any other time. In my view, that's the Holy Spirit at work, empowering, engaging, and moving his people in a way to sing, to express themselves to God, in recognition and response to his greatness and his goodness. Paul says in Romans 8:26, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Is that the same as musical expression? Can it be the same of musical expression? Another example to help us broaden our understanding. When we switch just two letters of the word sing to spell sign. Now, I'm young enough to remember Uncle Jim standing out the front during Sunday school, leading actions to songs like If I Were a Butterfly and Peter and John Went to Pray. I can remember that as if it was yesterday. Those were great times, not just because the actions were fun, but because they engaged us with the words that we were singing. As we get older, as we become more self-conscious, actions to songs tend to fall by the wayside. True, the songs that we predominantly use to worship as we get older are different in style, but let's not be too hasty in dismissing the power, the relevance, or the importance of doing actions. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I do and I understand. For some people, actions are all they've got, and they speak volumes. Watch this short clip. For those listening online, that video of somebody signing the first verse and chorus of a song won't work. But for those of us that saw it, I don't think any of us could say that that lady wasn't in touch or in tune with what she was signing. We didn't need sound to appreciate or recognise the fact or the emphasis of her movements and the expressions on her face told a story. Like a musician with an instrument, like a congregation member with a voice, like somebody waving a flag or expressing themselves through dance, she expressed outwardly what was going on internally in the heart and mind. In truth, singing with heart and mind means something much greater than the words themselves suggest. Substituting the word worship for sing certainly goes some way to giving us a better perspective. But is there even more to it than that? We're going to pause me talking for a few minutes and we're going to watch that signing video again. This time I've added the lyrics and the music back in. Because I know some of you were trying to guess what she was signing. When you hear the words,
everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy follow me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
And listened to that a number of times, and each time I've been surprised at how some of that sign language has not just reinforced the words but has added a new depth and dimension to them as well. Music, actions, words, singing, signing, all combining to proclaim and express wonderful truths, hopes, and expectations, all combining to give praise, worship, thanks, adoration and acknowledgement to the one who is forever the author of salvation. I thought that was really powerful. To the one who, what was it? Something like rose and conquered the grave. The definite movement of her action, there was something so concrete about it. When we sing, when we play, when we sign, when we dance, when we raise our hands, when we express ourselves in worship, our purpose, our intention, our desire is and should be, as the song says, for the glory of the risen King. He is our sole focus. The byproduct of us outwardly expressing what's going on for us inwardly is that it encourages, motivates, supports, and uplifts those who are around about us. Paul, when writing to the church members in Ephesus, he said, "Be filled with the Spirit," addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It shows each of us have a responsibility to worship. Each of us have a responsibility to express ourselves to God. And as members of God's family, God's community, God's church, we have a responsibility to each other as well. Singing or worshipping with heart and mind is about engaging our whole being and expressing ourselves wholeheartedly to God. The heart, or cardia in Greek, is apparently mentioned over 800 times in Scripture. But in all those times, it never refers to the literal physical piece of muscle that pumps blood around the body. In the Bible, when we read the word heart, it refers to the affective center of our being. It's the soul or mind. It's the fountain or seat of our thoughts, our passions, our desires, our appetites, our affections, our purposes, our endeavours. Bob Coughlin, in his book, Worship Matters, said, "Worship isn't primarily about music, techniques, songs, or methodologies. It's about our hearts. It's about what and who we love more than anything else." It was Jesus himself who said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Hearts and minds is about expressing what's going on for us in the very center of our being. And the Bible is full of references of people expressing those raw emotions and feelings that are associated with their current situation and circumstance. Listen to Mary, who responded to the news of being chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. In Luke 1, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Or listen to one of the many psalms written by David, Psalm 35, verse 9. "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, 'Who is like you, Lord?'" But it's not just in times of rejoicing that we're to express ourselves. When Hannah replied to Eli the priest, she said, "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Or listen to Jesus as he looks ahead to his imminent death. "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Whether it's joy or sadness, grief or happiness, our core being expresses itself, and we feel compelled to cry out, to reach out, to express ourselves to God. Flick through Scripture, you'll come across many other songs or prayers of lament, confusion, frustration, anger, joy, and happiness. One of the best known passages in Scripture has been our reading and background text for today, Psalm 23. Written by David, the shepherd boy, who went on to be king. It's a psalm that encapsulates and encompasses so much in just six short verses. It's closely connected with the psalm that's just gone before and the psalm that immediately follows, for all three speak of a definitive work that would be fulfilled by Christ. In Psalm 22, the Good Shepherd is crucified for sinners. If you turn to John 10, verse 11, we see the fulfillment of this in the words quoted by Jesus himself, where he says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep." In Psalm 23, the Great Shepherd cares for the sheep. He guides and guards them through the ups and downs of life. He watches over them. Continuing that quote from Jesus that John recorded in his gospel, Jesus says, "I know my own sheep, and they know me. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." The shepherd cares for the sheep. And in Psalm 24, the glorious shepherd is coming for the saints. He will return to reign and reward his sheep. 1 Peter 5, verse 4 reminds us, "And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honour." But in Psalm 23, there's three key themes of our relationship with God through Christ, each of which should stimulate our hearts in praise and worship. We lack nothing, verse 1. We have no reason to fear, verse 4. And we will live with the Lord forever, verse 6. Whatever the circumstances of life throw at us, whatever our current situation or experience may be, this is a psalm that just continually encourages us to look beyond and above them all. God is our provider, our protector, and our pursuer. In him we find contentment, we find comfort, we find closeness. He is the one who leads me, the one who restores me, and the one who comforts me. Many of us, whether in Sunday school, school assemblies, or both, would have grown up singing the hymn, "The Lord is My Shepherd," written by Francis Rouse, and it uses Psalm 23 as its foundation. In 1996, when Stuart Townend released his reworking of the song, he said this: "I never set out to write a new musical version of this psalm. It seems very brave or very arrogant to think you can improve on the existing hymn version, which has been loved and sung by millions of people for so long. I was actually working on a different song at the time, which, after several hours' hard work, was not going well. While taking a break, I happened to flick to Psalm 23 in my Bible, and a simple melody popped into my head. The whole thing was written in 10 minutes. Townend's version of the song now has a chorus, the words of which present a personal response to the truths that are found in these verses. And I will trust in you alone." He continues, "Whilst the psalm is familiar to many as a psalm of comfort in funeral services, for example, I also noticed that the psalm uses a lot of movement imagery, walking, leading, following, etc. That speaks to me of the need of an active response of faith to what the psalm is saying. We are to live each day believing the truths of this psalm." An active response of faith. I like that phrase. That's what worship is about, isn't it? Worship is us responding to God, not because of who we are, but because of what he has done. We trust in him. Philip Keller, a shepherd like David who wrote this psalm, says in his very good book, and I've got a copy here, Doesn't take you very long to read. Very good book. He says in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he says, it's impossible to make sheep lie down unless they are free from all fear. Yet here, in Psalm 23, David paints a picture of a flock that can be made to lie down. Why is that? The answer is simple. Because the sheep of this flock have total confidence in and dependence on their shepherd. They have that certainty and assurance that he will and is watching over them. He will and is providing for their every need. As a result, they've been set free from all fear. Through a personal relationship with Christ, we can be at peace. We can be free from all fear and doubt, no matter what takes place in this life. I love the way when Stuart Townend described how he came to write the song, said, a simple melody popped into my head. For a songwriter and composer, that must be just such a great moment. But it's also nice to know that I'm not the only one that seems to get easily hooked by a tune or a sequence of words that just continually goes over and over and over in my mind. For me, it might be a tune or a set of words that comes from a song we've sung on a Sunday, or from something that I've been playing on the stereo at home. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, where I am, it's almost as if somebody has just pressed play. Sometimes, in fact, most of the time, it's not the whole song that comes into my head either. It's normally just a section or a particular segment of the song that just keeps going over and over and over. To be honest, it's quite an immersive experience. It's like you're bathing or wallowing in the wonder of just that piece of truth until you get it. Until you get to appreciate and understand it just that little bit better. The only time that that gets annoying, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, is on a Sunday morning. When I've got this section of a song going round in my head, and I can't think of the first line to work out the number, to give out and work out the rest of the lyrics. That's about the only time it's annoying. Every other time, it's lovely. Just wallowing and immersing yourself in that truth. Elephants, like some other animals, wallow in mud for a very important reason. I haven't put those pictures up there because I like elephants. They wallow in mud for a very important reason. They do it because it provides their skin with a natural sunblock. It protects their bodies from harm. As we remember and sing or express songs of praise and worship throughout the week, it's almost like we are reapplying or we are reaffirming the protection that we need for our souls. Singing, worshipping, outwardly expressing ourselves to God sustains us. It carries Sunday's truths into Monday and the rest of the week. It supports us through every season of life. Expressing ourselves in worship reminds us of what God has already done for us in Christ. It reveals what he's doing for us right now, and it reinforces what he will do for us in the future. In the book that accompanies this series, we're reminded of the phrase, "You are what you eat." Well, what's your appetite for singing and worshipping like? How many times have you been to a restaurant, stared at the menu for a while, and come out with a phrase like, I just can't make up my mind. There's too much to choose from. Now, when that happens, what normally follows is that we end up choosing our default meal. It's the meal you always choose, in spite of everything else on offer. You default to the norm. We are creatures of habit. We like consistency. We like routine. We like things to be familiar because that's comfortable and comforting. And in some respects, there's nothing wrong with it. But sometimes it's good and healthy to try something different, to broaden our horizons, to deliberately put ourselves in a place that allows us to experience God differently. The Message paraphrase of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, puts it like this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Singing with heart and mind is therefore much more than a noise that comes out of our mouth. And it's more than something that happens for a few hours on a Sunday. Louis Giglio, in his book, I've got it somewhere, very good book. Louis Giglio, in his book, The Air I Breathe, says this. Worship is a verb. It's something you do, not something you watch. Worship is something you enter into with all your might. The kind of worshippers God is looking for are those who will worship him as their Father, in spirit and truth. To worship God in spirit requires that we be alive on the inside, experiencing the life he gives by spiritual birth. He goes on. Without his life, we can never truly worship. God doesn't let us worship him for free. Our worship cost him the life of his only son. God doesn't let us worship him for free. Our worship cost him the life of his only son. Now that is something for us to sing about and to express ourselves in response to, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge that comes from your word in Psalm 23. We thank you, Lord, that it speaks to us of a psalm that is just so encapsulating of how you, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, provide for our every need. You watch over us. You take care for us. Lord, in those times where we are struggling, help us to look to you. We thank you, Lord, that psalm says, when we walk through, we don't just walk, we walk through. You are walking by the side of us. You are with us. You watch over us. Father, as we take time now to respond and to reflect on everything that's gone on this morning, we ask, Lord, for your presence with us. May your Holy Spirit move through us now as we seek to worship you and express ourselves to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.